it will soon be Halloween. We tell our young children throughout their young lives, don't talk to strangers. Don't approach strangers. Don't have any dealings with strangers. And yet on Halloween, we send our kids out in strange costumes, going to houses owned by strangers. And as if that's not bad enough, we tell our kids to take things that are edible from these strangers. What the hell is wrong with you?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Okay.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you very much. You know what I've found these days? It's not that I dislike people. I thought I did, but I don't. I like people, sort of. But it's not dislike. It's that I'm disappointed in them. That's what it is. I had an epiphany. I found that I was disappointed in most people. The things they say, that's disappointing. The things they do, it disappoints me. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says on the front, "You disappoint me." You know, I think we'd all get along if we were all high together. I mean, I don't get high anymore, but if I did, I don't think I'd have a problem with anybody, because it kind of mellows them out. By the way, speaking of that, I'm on my third container of CBD oil. I have the cream salve kind of stuff that I put on parts of my body that may be aching at the time. And aching is so disappointing. It's disappointing to me. And I have the CBD oil drops that I can put in water or actually administer it directly to my tongue. And I have a CBD oil thing. I don't even know what it's like. I don't even know what it is. None of it works. And I figured it out. This is a scam. CBD stuff doesn't do anything. I've done interviews on this show with CBD people. They disappoint me. The whole CBD line disappoints me. There's so many different CBD products. I don't know if I got a bad product or CBD is a scam. Doesn't work. I think it works psychologically, but I have a feeling that if you gave me some type of lip balm in a container and then the other container had CBD balm in it, I believe that I wouldn't know the difference. And I could spread lip balm on my knee and say to myself, oh my God, my knee feels better. No, it doesn't. That's lip balm, you idiot. So, I'm not sure about this CBD oil stuff. It could be a scam. And I'm wondering if it is. I seriously wonder if this is some kind of play on our brains to psychologically accept something that doesn't exist, yet if it's marketed correctly, then it does exist. When I speak to CBD oil experts on this program, which I do every once in a while, because everything's CBD now. Oh, if you try CBD, you can get CBD. Everything, we can ship CBD all over the place. CBD, oh, you got an ache? It's the CBD. You're feeling like, yeah, let's take CBD. Can't sleep at night? Take CBD. I can't see. CBD. CBD. I can't hear you. Put CBD in your ear. Now I really can't hear you. Why not? There's CBD in my ear. I have a toothache. Put CBD on it. I'm feeling a little sluggish today. Put some CBD in your body. Drink some CBD water. And it comes in different flavors. Have you tried the CBD watermelon? It's tasty. I'm wondering if there's really such a thing. They say that they extract the stuff that makes you high out of the marijuana, so or whatever this is, or the hash, whatever the, so you don't get high from it. It's just that your pain goes away. I remember getting high. That was when my pain went away. I don't know, and now I'm starting to talk to people in a real way. Hey, you know, you take CBD oil? Yes, I do. You bet I do. I couldn't live without that CBD oil. It's amazing. Does it really work for you? No, it doesn't really. No, no, not. It did. It did. But it doesn't anymore. No, 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 I don't know. Now, and then they market it saying, you know, you can never take too much CBD oil. What a great marketing scheme that is. Yeah, buy a ton of it. You can never take too much. Wow. This is a scam. I think it's a Trump product. It's a scam. It's like Trump University. There's no schooling there. This is the same as CBD. There's no pain relief. You think there is, therefore you feel better. But in actuality, it doesn't really do anything. I've got a headache. Well, why don't you take some CBD oil and pour it on your head? Well, that sounds wonderful. And it'll also make my hair grow. Look, it's not. Stop it. Just please stop it. And you know, and I know, that someday, maybe 10 years from now, there'll be a report that CBD oil causes cancer. I don't know if it will. I'm not saying the report will come out. I'm just saying it probably will. I'll tell you another funny thing that's going on. I do interviews on this show just about every day. And there are two companies that are starting to want to be interviewed continually with the Smoke and Mirrors campaign. And I'm going to tell you about them because it's true. First of all, Facebook. Facebook fucked up the election in 2016 by accepting ads from Russia and other countries to get Donald Trump into office. I don't know if that's the reason he became president, but I can't find any other reason that he would. So Facebook admits that, well, yeah, we shouldn't have taken those ads. I guess when they were paying in rubles, we should have figured that out. Campaign ads paid in rubles? I'll take the money. Facebook. Come on, Facebook. We trusted you. Now you're just a money whore like everybody else, and a big one at that. So Facebook is now doing these campaigns on the radio, and they try to engage me, saying, you know, Facebook now is concerned about your online security. Oh, really? Oh, really? So we're starting a parents control what your kids see on Facebook campaign because we're concerned about the children. You're not concerned about the children. You're concerned about your revenues and the fact that you made a big mistake and you don't know how to handle it. So Facebook is trying to get this free marketing thing going on. Facebook, I'm on to you. You're trying to cover up your mistakes by doing things that you think are really like user-friendly. You're not user-friendly to any at all. The other company that's doing this is Johnson & Johnson. What's worse than one Johnson? Two Johnsons. Johnson and Johnson. I'd like to tell you a joke today, and I think you'll appreciate it. It goes a little something like, well, it goes exactly like this. The guy's in legal trouble. He's calling the law firm of Johnson, Johnson, and Johnson. And he dials the phone, and a guy picks up the phone and says, "Can I help you, Johnson, Johnson, and Johnson Law Firm?" And the caller says, "Yes, I'd like to speak to Attorney Johnson." "Oh, he's out to lunch right now. He's not available." "Well, how about Attorney Johnson then?" "Oh, he's out sick today." "Then how about Attorney Johnson?" "Speaking." Okay. Anyway, so Johnson & Johnson is, they are the ones that produced this talcum powder stuff. There was a time in our lives where talcum powder was used for everything, similar to CBD oil, where, "Oh, I'm feeling a little nasty under the armpits. Put talcum powder on it. Just gave you a nice haircut. We're going to brush off those nasty little hairs that are sitting on your shoulder, and we're going to throw some talcum powder on you, and you'll feel refreshed." "Okay. Hey, my vagina hurts." "Me too. Let's put some talcum powder down there." All the powder had talcum in it. Johnson & Johnson apparently knew that this talcum powder was not a good thing. It could cause some horrible disease, maybe like even cancer. But Johnson & Johnson failed to tell the public. So, if you have some type of cancer from the use of a Johnson & Johnson powder, and of course babies were talcumed every time you change a baby's diaper, you'd wipe their ass, and then you put talcum powder on it. Oh my God, there was millions and billions of babies using talcum powder from Johnson & Johnson. They were the big talcum powder people. So people are out now to sue Johnson & Johnson, and Johnson & Johnson was actually found to be negligent in its safety of talcum powder as a product by Johnson & Johnson. So people are suing them. So now I'm getting calls from agents of Johnson & Johnson. Would you like to interview Johnson & Johnson? They're trying to help the environment. They're trying to help the environment? Would you like to speak to Johnson & Johnson? They're starting a program for their employees where they give them second chances in case they were, you know, something happened in life and they were not able to get back into the workforce. The Johnson & Johnson company is giving them a second chance to get a job at Johnson & Johnson because we care about people. You don't care about people. You killed them. You killed them with the talcum powder. Allegedly. So I won't interview these people. And when I have found out that Johnson & Johnson or Facebook was sponsoring something that was going on in an interview, I don't hear them. I just don't hear them. Because you have to be socially responsible, Ron. Anyway, CBD oil. I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. I don't trust anything. Oh, boy, when I was a kid, I've talked about this before. I trusted everybody. Everybody who was an adult, I trusted them. I figured, you've been around long enough. You know what's going on. I trust adults. I know that some of them are murderers. Some of them are sneaks and horrible people and child molesters. I know that. But for the most part, adults, they're pretty good because they're not kids. You know, they've grown up. They know what's going on. They have some life experience. Then I became an adult myself, and I realized I'm greatly disappointed in adults. They disappoint me. So, I don't know. It's the little the old Catholic thing, you know, the old Christian thing, the church thing, let's call it, where love everybody. Everybody has good inside, no matter how bad they may be, no matter how despicably horrible and devilish they may act. There's some good in everybody. Yeah, there is, but not the kind that you want. There's bad in everybody is what it is, and you can bring it out quite easily by annoying them. Let's be real, man. Come on. Let's be real. CBD oil? Nah, I don't think so. Ron, we have it's scientifically proven because people say that it actually makes them feel better. Oh, that's what they say. I see. So nobody in our entire lifetime has ever been duped by a product or a guy running for president. I see. I get it. Everything is what they say it is. I get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. So I live my life. The older I get, the less I trust. You have to earn my trust. You have to earn it. You have to earn it. You have to show me and prove to me that you are a trustworthy person. It's like becoming a saint. You have to perform 3 miracles first before I will trust you. My supposition is that you are not trustworthy. That's where we start. That's where we start. We start all the way on the bottom. And then you have to prove to me, the exalted king of life, that you have risen above the bar of stupidity. That you must prove to me by performing 3 tasks that you are a trustworthy person. And not too many people really reach that bar. Do I even reach the bar? Probably not. I can't even trust myself, apparently. The older I get, the less trustworthy I think people are. They disappoint me. I think the reason is the older I get, the more examples of people not being wonderful, they mount up. They mount up to the point where I can't see beyond the trees anymore. That's unfortunate, man. It really is. But such is life. Oh, well. We all have people in life that really do click with us, you know? Those are the people. You ever talk to somebody, you know, have light conversation, which I hate, and in the conversation, it's like, oh my God, when is this going to end? This is annoying. And then there are other people you talk to. You could talk to them forever. It's just back and forth stimulation and enjoyment and comfort. Those are the people you connect with. It's the opposite of Facebook friends. These are people that make you feel comfortable, make you feel important, like you matter to somebody. They're listening to you, like what you say is worth listening to. You laugh with them, you cry with them. They're there now. They're there. Why do people say they're there when someone's crying? They're there now. What the hell does that mean? What do you mean? They're there. What are you talking about? You're not pointing to anything. Over there now, over there. No, now it's over there. They're there now. They're there now. I understand. All right. Our guest joins us. You know, there are 2 things that are most important in our lives. It's sex and food. And maybe I'm speaking for myself here. I don't like to talk about sex because what's the point? You don't talk about sex. You just do it. You just shut up and do it. You don't talk about it. You don't talk about it. Hey, guess what I did last night? I'm going to tell you step by step. No, you don't. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Let me tell you about food then. Oh, yes. Let's talk about food. That's stimulating. That's foreplay. Food talk. Sex talk, not so much. You're wasting my time. Let's get to it. I don't know if you're old enough to know who this woman is. Dr. Ruth Westheimer. I think she was German or something. She had a German kind of accent. She's been around forever. She's probably like 85, 90 years old or something. And she had a show on television, and she was a guest on many shows. She was the sex expert. You would assume that a sex expert would be a voluptuous, beautiful woman or a handsome, wonderful-looking man. But no. The nation's sex expert, Dr. Ruth Westheimer, was a short, squat, not attractive at all, German-speaking lady. And she would spout out all this stuff about pleasing each other. And it, I don't, people thought she was a sex expert. I cringed. Don't tell me this. And don't tell me this when it looks like you're the last person anybody would have sex with. I'm sure she's a wonderful person. I don't know her personally. But if we're talking about physical stimulation, I don't know what's going on then, because this was not that at all. But I do enjoy food. I was going to say I do get stimulated by food. That didn't sound right. But I do enjoy talking to chefs and creative food people. And today we're going to talk to one of those people who happens to be quite attractive as well. I mean, it just works all the way around the clock here. And we're going to talk about pork. Yeah, we're going to talk about pigs. Pork is an amazing thing, man. If you're a vegan or a vegetarian or some version of those two things, then, or an agnostic, I don't know, then you may find this pork conversation to be a bit unworthy of your palate. But for everybody else, we talk pork. right after this, we talk pork. Wow.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Van Damme, any relation to Claude Van Damme?
If I said yes, I'd be lying, but I would be more impressive.
Come on, say yes.
Yes, I am. He's my brother.
That's so cool. I knew it.
I know you knew it. Chef Anna Quingosis joins us now, and we're going to be talking about the wonders and misconceptions about pork. Our friend a pig there. And pork is, we've talked about this before, pork is amazing. When I was growing up, it was like, don't touch pork, eat it, but don't touch it, wash your hands thoroughly. And it's still kind of the case, but now it's like, it's not as, I guess it's safe. You can eat lean pork and it's fine.
I mean, it's more than safe. It's good for you. I don't know where all that came from,
yeah.
But I'm here to dispel it all, Ron.
That's good.
Let's dispel those misconceptions.
Well, honestly, I think we should, yes.
Yeah, I don't know where all that came from, but it's really untrue. Pork is an excellent source of protein, high-quality protein. So many cuts of pork are super, super lean. My favorite, which is the tenderloin, I use it for everything. I make pulled pork tenderloin.
Sure.
Yeah, I actually stick it in a pressure cooker, and it just comes out, as lean as it is, it comes out incredible. So I could talk about pork forever, but this tenderloin, 3 ounces of tenderloin has 2.98 grams of fat.
Yeah.
Which is any skinless chicken, you'll never find, no matter what they do to it.
You know, that is so true. I'm one of those people that, I mean, I'm not fat, but I eat lean stuff because I don't want to get fat. And right. When I go to the supermarket, I literally look at the packaging on everything about mm-hmm. the fat content, the saturated fat, etc. And pork tenderloin always wins out over beef and most cuts of chicken. And yeah. I'm fascinated by that. I use pork instead of veal parmesan or chicken parmesan. I do a thin slice pork parmesan, which is incredible. It's so tender.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I
it's
love
so
it.
So tender, you pound it out.
Exactly. Just like I would veal.
I thought I was here to give you recipes, Ron. That's a great recipe.
No,
right there.
No, you're going to interview me from now on. No, you're the chef. But I mean, I totally agree that, I mean, fat content wise and taste, I mean, pork wins every single time. And it's amazing the things you can come up with if you think about it.
Because it's such a blank canvas. You can add yeah. so much flavor to it.
Yeah.
It really takes on, you know, you're just talking about making an Italian dish. Mm. You have some great recipes here that are really simple, like pork tacos. Who doesn't love that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just use Mexican spices and you use pork tenderloin for that. Add a little pico de gallo, a little, you know, queso fresco and some lime, and you've got, you know, amazing pork tacos.
Yeah.
Or like pork chop or a pork loin that you can roast and add some, you know, spicy chimichurri sauce to it. It has a lot to do with what you serve with it. I think that's also part of it. Hispanics tend
True.
To overload on the carbs and the sugars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's making us, you know, overweight and have diabetes and that kind of stuff. It's not pork. Pork, you know, if we ate more pork, we probably would have less of those problems. It's how you prepare it, which cuts you use, and what you accompany it with. That's the key.
It's yeah. I mean, even so, I mean, I do a pork tenderloin, and I put apricot jam or jelly all over it, like it's some kind of lotion, and I keep basting it, and then when it cooks and you cut into it, it's like it's an incredible flavor. I'm in love with it. Other countries use pork more frequently than we do, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. For all the Latin American countries, but I believe that Asia.
Yeah.
Uses pork, mm-hmm. and don't quote me on this, but I believe I read that,
mm-hmm.
and it makes sense because again, it just conforms to so many different types of cooking.
Yes.
You can do anything with it. You know, basically, you can slow cook it and roast it and grill it and
You're
saute
right.
it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, and you can use it in place of any other protein as well, which is great. The other day, I saw somebody do like a instead of chicken and waffles, do like pork tenderloin, like. You know, fried with mm-hmm. French toast, and it was unreal.
Wow.
So there's just so many ways to incorporate pork in a really healthy way. And then, you know, every once in a while, you've got to give yourself permission. It's about moderation.
Yeah.
To have a little bacon, to have a little, you know, something extra.
Sure. And there's also lean cuts of bacon, too. I mean, it's the, you know, there's the thin cuts and everything. Are there other misconceptions that we don't quite understand about pork, things that we're taught but are not necessarily the case?
Yes, I think that, for example, everyone thinks you have to cook pork to death, like cook it all the way through. And you treat pork in many ways the same way that you use meat. So you can...
Yes.
You have to have 145 degrees is the minimum for medium rare.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay that it's a little pink inside.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that, and they don't. It's just so easy to cook, but you have to do a little research to kind of understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you overcook it, of course, it's not going to be as tender and juicy as it would be if you knew exactly. And also about, you know, which cut of pork, you know, the days where people, you know, you were talking about somebody touching it.
Yeah.
And any kind of protein, cross-contamination is an issue with any kind of protein.
Right.
You know, don't combine raw and cooked
right.
food and that kind of stuff. It's just common sense.
Right.
But other than that, I think that people just really need to understand how lean pork is
mm-hmm.
and how it can be part of a very healthy diet.
Very true. I suggest that whatever you do with beef, try doing it with pork. When I do Oriental cooking in a wok, if there's ground beef in the recipe, I do the ground pork. It's lighter. I think it takes on the flavor more of the sauces than beef does, and it's a great substitute.
Sure. And even things like sometimes if you're using another kind of protein, or if you're making meatballs, like
yes.
I like French ground turkey, I always have some ham in my freezer,
yeah.
and I grind that up and I add it to it, and that's what gives it flavor.
Yeah.
If not, imagine just turkey meatballs, that's no fun. And so two to this, it's like I added a little bit of ground ham or ground pork to it.
Yeah.
It's a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been talking about pork. We haven't even talked about ham and bacon and stuff and sausage.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I mean, it just goes on and on. It's, I mean, those of us that love to cook, it's like it's a field day. It's a, like you say, it's a canvas. It's
You're
really
right.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it's like you do your share of cooking.
I do it every day. I love it. I go to the supermarket every single day like it's Disney World, and then I pick up the ingredients and I go home cook with a glass of wine, and my family is just, they love me. I think only for that reason, though.
That's why. That's why.
Yeah.
So it's such a great way to unwind. But yeah, I think if more people read the packages and really understood what's in stuff, we would all be eating healthier.
Yeah, no question. So how do we get more information about the wonderful world of pork?
So you can go to the National Pork Board or Pork Es Sabor for the recipes that I've just given you. PorkEsSabor.com mm-hmm. and also at Pork Es Sabor or at the National Pork Board on Instagram and Twitter.
Okay. Now, but what if people wanted to cook like Chef Anna does? Where would they go for that?
That is AnnaGinkosis.com.
Perfect. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Yes. my brother, Jean-Claude, says hello, by the way.
Oh, tell Jean-Claude that, you know, we need to practice more that or whatever
it is. Whatever the hell that is.
A while.
Whatever that is. Chef Anna Quincocas, thank you so much for your time today.
It was a pleasure, Ron. Nice talking to you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, I am hungry now. I mean, I just am. That's just the way that goes. I hope I've whet your appetite as well. Careful. Careful. Look, have a wonderful weekend. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. I hope you'll be here as well. You got nothing else to do. I know you don't. I know you don't. I know you very well. Kind of, I don't at all. But I assume you have nothing else to do by virtue of the fact you showed up at all today. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Cut it out. I'm kidding. I'm just a joke. Come on. Sense of humor. Come on. Loosen up a little bit. I wish you peace.